Another riveting day at Apocalypse Video. Nothing exciting ever happens around here. I wonder what I could have done with my life if I just stayed in school.
Let's be honest, Dave. You still would have ended up working in a video store.
Cody, when did you...
Where's that studio audience coming from?
Oh, sorry. That's my ringtone. Let me just check.
I hate that ringtone. Everyone in the wasteland has it on their damn phone.
Number one comic effect ringtone in the App Store, Dave. Man, I wish I had thought of that. I'd be living it big in Citadel right now. Sipping on mother's milk and getting fat off of never-ending supplies of Taco Bell. What if? It's worth a try.
Ryan, what the hell are you doing? Why are you... Wait! Don't combine Pop Rocks and Mountain Dew Lifeguard? Are you crazy?
Don't worry, Dave. Ryan knows what he's doing. Just watch.
Oh my god! Ryan, are you okay?
I got it! My next big ringtone will be the Rimshot! It's so painfully obvious. How has no one ever thought of it before?
What the hell?
It's alright, Dave. Ryan just briefly absorbed the knowledge and experience of one of his other multiversal selves.
Okay...
I know, it's a lot to take in. Just sit down, take a load off, and by the time the theme song is over, I'll have told you all you need to know about mastering the skills of your multiversal betters.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movie-less wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. The movie sounds awesome, and apparently it can grant you superpowers if done right. Let's watch it now!
Sorry, Dave. I don't got it.
What do you mean?
I caught it during a crossed rift event over in Sector 9. One time only type of thing, you know.
Well, how did Ryan see it?
Well, I suspect that Ryan's enlarged head makes him susceptible to broadcasts from other parallel universes.
What?
I know! Isn't it great? For once, my giant head is a gift and not a curse.
Damn it! Well, why couldn't the nuclear fallout give me a giant head? All I got was impotence and abnormally large hemorrhoids. What the hell with this? If I can't watch this movie, I'll at least find something similar. Alright, let's see. I want action, comedy, and above all else, a kick-ass Michelle Yao as the lead.
Working.
I hate to say this, but you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment, Dave. Nothing will top Everything Everywhere All at Once. It literally has everything you'd want in a movie.
We'll see about that. You forget, we have the largest video collection in the wasteland.
One match found.
All right. See what we've got. Yes, madam. What the hell?
Interesting title?
I mean... Maybe it's not so bad. Michelle Yao is on the cover after all, and she's in a martial arts stance, so that's encouraging. What the hell? Let's do it. Chad, load. Yes, madam.
Hold it, we're CID. No move.
Hey! 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 Hey!
All right, that was Yes, Madam, or
In the Line of Duty 2, The Super Cops.
Or In the Line of Duty 2, Police Assassins.
Starring Michelle Yeoh or Michelle Kahn.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that?
Yep. Yeah, I did. I had to look it up. I'm like, did I get the right movie? I thought I got the wrong movie.
Yeah, no, she originally went by Kahn, I guess.
Oh, so that wasn't necessarily a mistake?
No, I think that's just what she was credited
as.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
I think from what I saw, it was to make her sound less, you know, Chinese or Malaysian, you know, at the time.
Even though the movie's set in Hong Kong and only stars Chinese actors.
Well, Hong Kong at this time that it was shot wasn't China. It was a British colony.
Right.
That's so right. That's probably why.
Interesting.
We got to get an English person in there. What kung fu masters we got in England? What about that Rothrock chick?
So you're familiar with her, huh? Like, because
Dave's a big Rothrock head.
Yeah, let's hear. I want to hear.
He smokes the Rothrock all the time.
Well, to get us in, I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Ryan.
Hi.
And returning from the wastes, I don't know exactly what version of Cody this is. I don't know if he's our Cody or not, but Cody.
Hey, hello. Hold on. Yeah, I need to eat this tube of chapstick really fast.
Zero in. Okay, now he's our Cody.
Or
okay,
now tell David you love him, too.
Why would I do that? I can't do it. I
think Cody's going to die.
No,
I mean, we could go down a checklist of slights against Cody. I've killed at least one of his wives in the past.
You've done what?
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
But no, my history with Cynthia Rothrock, it's actually not that extensive. My history is that I know of her, and I've seen...
We dated once.
It was a short fling in the early 90s.
Well, I think I've seen like one or two movies she was in, and I think I just kind of knew she existed. And it's kind of a bummer. I guess she was a big deal in Hong Kong action movies. She had been in a lot of movies. She starred in a lot of movies with, what's his name? I want to say Sammo Hung, I think. He's a guy that was in some Jackie Chan's 80s movies.
He produced this movie.
And he produced this movie, too. But she was a big deal in Hong Kong action movies, but I don't think she ever really made that transition. She never blew up in the States. She never became like a Van Damme or Stallone or anything like that. And it's unfortunate because like you watch this movie, you're like,
she's
well,
pretty good.
She has the chops. If you want to really get into it as far as acting abilities, I think she's on par with the action stars of the day. It's certainly like a Van Damme or a... Or a cigar.
It's a tough one with these since she's dubbed over, you know?
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. It's a little hard to get
into
that.
But she was still, like, her presence was good, I thought, you know?
Yeah, and with action movies, like, that's half of it at least, right? It's just the presence.
She had some good kicks, that's for sure.
Yeah, she was cool. So, yeah, I kind of, this is a weird one. I never heard of this, but after watching Everything Everywhere All at Once through the time portals, we got that somehow, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
this out.
It'll fry your brain.
I was just like, I feel like I didn't know really much of Michelle Yeoh's background other than like movies that kind of got big in the U.S., you know? I guess it would be Crouching Tiger and Tomorrow Never Dies, right? That's what the Bond is in.
Oh, yeah, that was like the crossover hit.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know she was in Police Story 3. And I don't know, just like I knew of her, you know, she's been popping up in Marvel movies and such. But I was just like, I want to see where it all started. So this was her first starring role. I think it's her third acting credit. Yeah, this is her first leading movie, even though. That's sort of a problem with the movie, I would say. But this is our first one. So this is like the one that like was like, here, you can lead it. Here's a movie with you on the front of the poster, you know, kind of thing.
So. It's interesting you say a problem. She's certainly not the lead of the movie. as we finished the movie, you know, we all like oohed and aahed over the action scenes as we were watching it, but no one ever just said like as we were watching, I'm loving this or whatever. It was only after when I saw you guys entering in your Letterboxd reviews
and just some little chatter I picked up that I got the idea that you thought that this had a good beginning and a good end. And I'm sitting here reading your Letterboxd reviews thinking to myself, did we watch the same movie?
Oh!
Because this movie was awesome.
Wow. Well, that makes sense, Dave. You know, I kind of looked over and I'm like, this guy probably relates a lot to aspirin and Spinroll and whatever their fucking names were. You know, Strepsil, excuse me, aspirin and Strepsil. Some just greasy, sweaty weirdos who live in a fucking hovel in a closet. I'm like, yeah, I guess that's Dave's vibe. It's good to see yourself represented on screen, right, Castle Freak?
I've been known to forge documents at one time or another in my life.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, there's some of that's okay. It's a lot. It's a lot of it, I think.
It's the whole movie.
It's the whole movie, and it's not what you thought. Yeah, the whole movie is a different thing.
Yeah. But I said, there are some good stuff in there, and I think those guys are all right, but they're just in the whole movie.
They're in too much of it. Yeah,
too much.
Yeah.
So I guess I went in with my expectations were not met.
Well, the title is Yes, Madame. The cover is Michelle Yeoh. And then it's like that first 5 minutes, I was so locked.
Her hair looks like, so cool. She has this cool jacket.
It's a great fit throughout. And I'm just like, damn, this movie's going to rule so hard. And I'm glad that, I guess I'm not glad. I'm glad that I mentioned that. I'm like, oh, this movie rules. And then Ryan's like, just wait.
That might have been it. Maybe that was because I started to watch the trailer and then I was like, no, I don't want to be spoiled. They're showing so much cool stuff in the trailer already. I don't want to spoil it. You watched the whole trailer, so you probably had a preconceived notion of what this movie was.
I kind of saw like it might have been just like a piece of the trailer.
Oh, a clip or something.
It was like a clip. And then I just saw like it popping up and like it had really good reviews on the Chad, the box and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
the chatterbox.
And I was just like, oh, wow, this is probably cool. Because I was looking, I was like, what's her most popular movie that's like not something that I had heard of, really? You mm-hmm. know, and this is up there, basically, when I was searching. And I'm like, what a title is that and stuff. And she has a gun on the cover. And then I saw screenshots of her with like a shotgun and her cool 80s hair. She looked like she looks like she came out of what's that artist that would do those like they did. Is it Duran Duran or the Rio cover like that?
She's certainly wearing that 80s outfit. The 80s,
the white jacket, you know, white pants.
Yeah,
it's you're talking about Patrick Neagle, I think. It's Patrick Nagel. Patrick Nagel did that. He did the 80s like pop art kind of style.
Yeah,
he came up just the other day. I was driving across the wastes, you know, hopping on the 101, and Jana was talking about how much she liked that art. It's funny that name came.
Yeah, it was just like a huge. Yeah, I think like Patrick Bateman has him hanging in his house, you know, and stuff like that. But that
well-known
she looks
cool
like
guy
she came off that poster.
Bateman.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up Jana or Yana, however you pronounce her name. Which
is it, Dave? Is it interesting I bring her up?
Well, no, I felt that I actually thought about her while we were watching this because I'm like, this seems like a movie that she would love. Like, and again, not telling her what it was about or, you know, like, or that it's an action movie because I feel like this kind of humor seems up her alley. I don't know.
It's up
your
you're
alley. Cute a face.
Apparently, it's up your alley, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. Jana has a low tolerance for dumb shit in movies, so it's it could go one of two ways.
Okay, but it's just the movie is so zany, and it, like you said, it is kind of it's almost a whiplash effect because the first five or so minutes is this cool, awesome 80s action.
There's still like a Hong flasher
Kong actioner.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Like
Dave was represented on screen again.
It tips its hand as to what movie this is going to be when it starts in a bookstore. Michelle Yeoh is just kind of flipping through some stuff, and this guy walks up to her in a trench coat.
Oh,
It's like, and I love it because like there's this perfectly framed shot where it's a close-up of him looking through a bookshelf, and on one end you see a book that about Chippendale dancers. Oh, wow. He just kind of moves it aside, and then he like flashes Michelle Yao, and like in what will be the first of many whip zooms, like she closes the book on the guy's dick, and suddenly it's like, in the light of duty too, the super cops. I think I knew exactly what kind of.
But
movie
she like
I
chases him down and
board.
She like blows him away with like shotguns, and there's like cops that come, and it's a cool shootout.
Well, that's not the flasher. That's only the first thing that happens within the first 5 minutes. She apprehends this guy. He gets in the car, drives away, and then immediately after she drives away, a group of robbers pull up or something?
That's right.
You know what it reminded me of, Ryan? It reminded me of any Dragon Ball Z episode where robbers would just show up on the streets. And then Krillin's like, oh, I guess I'll flip their car or whatever. It reminded me of that because
this
really
felt
is.
Like an anime.
Yeah.
This whole thing felt like an anime because everything is exaggerated and over the top. Like everyone's reactions and just literally everything. I'm like, this feels like a live action anime, especially when like everyone. What I love about this movie is that every time we get Michelle Yao or Cynthia Rothrock or any of the able-bodied people, not the two thieves, well, everyone's always jumping from place to place. Like, you know, there's just jumping and rolling and just like jumping up. And it just felt so exaggerated. I was dying laughing. Like when Michelle Yao gets that shotgun and just, oh shit, I lost this gun. Gotta get another gun. You know, it's just, I'm like, oh my God, it's so much information to take. It's too much.
Yeah. So yeah, there's all that, and then there's a little bit of police station, I remember, and then it kind of just like becomes a different movie for a while, basically. So yeah. Dave, since you're a big fan, do you want to try to explain what happens for the next hour,
the
basically?
So this movie is basically like I said, sort of a live action anime comedy that is bookended by these amazing action sequences with Michelle Yao and Cynthia Rothrock as they battle this guy who literally loves to be evil. He's like, I just love to be evil. I laugh and it makes me happy. It's about these two guys, these two thieves, Aspirin and Strepsil.
Strepsil.
Penicillin or something.
Panipal is the Panipal or Panipal is the. He's the forger. The other two are the guys who are the thieves.
Yeah, and basically they sort of intersect with the bookend storyline of this whole forgery deal. They rob this guy's motel room and steal a passport, not realizing that there's a tiny piece of microfilm hidden in there that is basically shows a forged contract that the bad guy wants because it'll... something. I'll be honest, I wasn't really following that very well, that flat line.
It's just a thing that he's that bad guys want.
It's worth billions to the bad guy or something.
Yeah. And then it's really just hijinks with a little bit of little fights sprinkled in throughout. But there's some cool hijinks in those thieves, like, I guess it's the foragers, a little layer, a little like Buster Keaton kind of.
Yeah,
cartoon
I was
fight.
On board with the hijinks.
I had I had a couple things notes written down actually about it. Sorry. The biggest thing I wanted to ask, and this comes up pretty early on in the movie,
it's appropriate given the shirt you're wearing.
That was a coincidence, but did you hear that music that was throughout the whole movie of freaking the Halloween?
Shut up. Can you drop it in, please?
我是CID,樓上發生命案,快點報警。來行姐!
Vijay,你叫我啊?
你們酒店有多少個夥計啊? 麻煩你告訴我。不清楚喎。
你想想。大概百多個左右。
Thank you. That's only one of the musical stings from Halloween that we hear in this movie. We hear a few.
Really? I guess I didn't notice.
It's that... Which one is it? It's like not the main theme. It's like the.
It's the second one where it's where he's stalking Lori. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. That's all. That's all Halloween. And it's not even like
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
And it's so funny because it didn't even sound like a different recording. It was just like
it was just the same thing. It was exactly the same. What I'm playing right now is exactly what was in the movie. I couldn't believe it.
Please help me!
It is, according to Chattopedia, the film score was composed by Romeo Diaz. Diaz would work with director Yuen again on his other films, including Fong Sai-yuk. The score also featured parts of the soundtrack from John Carpenter's The Film Halloween. Just full on used it. Just used the soundtrack.
Yeah, that.
And there's no reference to it in the credits. Yeah, I was waiting for a special thanks to John Carpenter or whatever. No mention of it. And it's used for almost every dramatic sting.
Yeah.
Ding. Couldn't believe it.
It's so funny.
Anna. 什么话用菲林不见了大哥没了不等于落在警方的手
I guess when the perfect music's out there somewhere, you're just like, why reinvent the wheel?
I know, like my note is Halloween music sting. Dun dun dun. That's what I wrote down.
They kept it was wild. Like, it just kept popping up throughout the movie. Every sting was that one sting, and every dramatic moment, even if it didn't fit, was that thing. Dun, dun, dun. It was at that point when I realized that this movie is something special.
You're right. I think so. I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, that was. That was sort of, I feel like I haven't really heard, I mean, you've heard this, like, music used in trailers from other movies and stuff, but I haven't,
yeah.
Not too often, it's like, just in the middle of
in the movie. Hey!
Hey! Keep by me! Pamadi! Pamadi! These three jets are tan, these chong lock in my hands, you guys have anything to
It's somehow that's acceptable. Like that happens a lot. And I think it's more of like a temp thing. It's like, we can just use that as like sort of a temp score to give an audience an idea of what the movie's going to be like. But to actually just have it in the movie, the final movie, is wild.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, people, even when they're making movies, will use like scores from other movies until the actual stuff gets composed. But they're just like forgot to replace.
Well, you
that
guys.
Part.
You guys remember when we saw that test screening of Wreck-It Ralph, like in the climactic moment when like the laser thing happens and all the bugs or whatever it is die, they use the music from Batman Forever when Batman saves Robin as they're falling.
I don't remember that, but okay.
I remembered that because I was like, burn. Again, granted, that was a test screening, so that wasn't going to go out to the public or anything. It was just a test screening, but it goes to what you're saying. Like, they do that all the time. They just use, like, just to give an idea of what they want, like, I guess the composer to be like, we want something like this.
Yeah. And also the rhythm of the editing sometimes will.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so back to the counterfeiters part, because I was going to go to that. I said I thought that fight was pretty cool. But there was, like, interesting, like, stickers and stuff, or in, like, posters. There was, like, a Rambo poster, and I saw, like, a John Lennon head. Can you catch that stuff?
Yeah.
Weird stuff. Weird stuff in this movie.
Well, that was, like, Paradol, is that his name?
Parapol, I believe.
Parapol. There was, like, a moment that was, like, this is, like, Parapol's funhouse, because, like, one of the sequences is
Panadol,
in the movie.
Panadol, P-A-N-A-D-O-L.
Panadol. It's like Panadol's playhouse because, like, it goes to, like, cartoon levels where he's getting chased by one of the people that one of those stooges that works with the bad guy. And he's, like, whipping around in this cage and whipping around this cage. And at one moment, I couldn't believe this. Out of nowhere, he pulls out a dummy of himself that is laced with explosives, I guess. And he throws it at the guy. Again, it gets into the anime nature of this movie where it just goes to like 11 in so many instances in the zaniness. And I was on board with this. I was enjoying this.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of was at the time with them when I realized that, like, oh, it's not getting back to the cops. Or I'm like, it was like probably like within like 15, 20 minutes. I was just like,
We're not cutting okay. back.
Yeah.
Well, it's even, it's funny, too. It like, there's a moment with, like, the bet, yeah. with the two forgers, or the two thieves are like, oh, we got to get ourselves arrested. Let's go in and just beat up a cop. We'll get ourselves arrested and put in prison. We'll be safe in prison. And, like, we get to this point where Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock are like, all right, take us to that place where you got beat up so we can maybe, like, you know, get some questions or get some answers, whatever. And as soon as they get there, Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock are like, all right, see ya. Sleep up there to get beat up again.
Yeah, it's really strange because they end up meeting. There's actually a pretty good scene where like Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia meet, where it's like at a bus station or something. Yeah, and they have like a little fight, or she fight like stops like the guy, and they have this little meet, and they kind of seem like they're rivals and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is gonna be interesting. Like, you know, they come together at the end, and that's what happens. But there's nothing.
But there's nothing in between.
Yeah,
they just are like, okay, we're cops together. Yeah, there's no. It's not like a Rush Hour situation where mm-hmm. it's all about their styles clashing the whole movie and the hijinks they get up to because they can't work together. It's just
except
them
they both
hang out
kick
in the background.
Ass, you know.
Yeah, but they both can kick hard ass. Yeah.
It makes you wonder if it's such a bookend thing. It makes you wonder if that was tacked on after the fact. Like, hey, wait a minute. Because they're such background characters, and it made me wonder if like if that was something that was done late in the production of this movie, where it's like let's kind of because like you said, like 90% of this movie is about these thieves and the zany antics they get into. It's like. I don't know. I'm just trying to piece together how this movie came to be.
It feels like either they added the Cynthia Rothrock, Michelle Yeoh, like, story beats after the fact, or they had that first and then realized they didn't have enough usable movie or something, and so they just shot more scenes with the two main thieves.
Yeah,
but the crazy thing is, like, there's a lot of crazy stuff, choreographed stuff that happens with the thieves. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's just crazy comedy bits with the thieves. Like, stuff happens with them that is, like, thought and choreography went into that stuff as well. So it's not like that stuff feels like they just slapped it together.
Yeah, I was trying to see if, like, those guys are, like, also, I mean, it's tough. I mean, maybe those guys at the time were, like, famous comedy action crew, you know, back in Hong Kong, you know, when this
one of them, Meng Hui, he's aspirin, he did get he won the best supporting actor at the 5th Hong Kong Film Awards for this role. So
oh, wow.
I think those two were the more famous. Like, I think even if you go to like Chad MDB or Chadopedia, I think Strepsil is like credited first on some stuff. So I think maybe he's more famous at the time.
Yeah, like, I bet, because that's my thinking, was just like, well, because I think they were kind of like, maybe didn't have the trust in Michelle to lead a whole movie, you know, kind of thing, and kind of like combined two scripts together or something like that.
It almost feels like these two guys, Strepsil and Aspirin, it almost feels like they're like the Abbott and Costello of Hong Kong cinema, maybe, like. Again, this is based off of seeing this one movie, but the way the movie centers them, it feels like you're like, these two must be famous as a duo elsewhere, mm-hmm. because this movie loves the two of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I totally, and like, because there's some, like, there's one of my favorite moments, too, is at the end, and it's following one of the guys that's, I forget which one it is, but he has, like, the samurai swords, and he's getting hit by him and stuff like that.
That's Aspirin, I think, isn't it?
Like, there's like eight guys chasing him with samurai swords, and he has two of them. And he's just like blocking a bunch of them, and it's like ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, that's just a funny shot and stuff. And I'm like,
well, because like there's 10 guys all like thrusting their swords down at him, he's just blocking them all. Like,
yeah. And I'm like, it's so funny the way it's cut and stuff. And so I'm like,
yes,
there's stuff like I could see, yeah, someone could be laughing at this, you know, if they're into these guys.
Yeah. Apparently that finale took 30 days to shoot.
Wow.
I believe it.
So that's why I'm also like, I wonder if they shot the finale and the intro first and were like, well, we don't have the budget to do anything else. It's these two guys and it's like this restaurant area over and over again from different angles.
Yeah, it was like the bar in their apartment over and over again, really.
Yeah.
Scene
at the apartment. All right, let's leave to go to a place. Ah, scene at the apartment. Let's leave to go to the place. Okay, let's go back to the police station and then back.
Remember, there was the scene where they went to see, it was like an old folks home. It was like their dad.
Yes, that was the other location.
That was
That's probably the moment where I noticed. I'm like, oh, this is not
the movie. Yeah, we're following these characters' alternate lives, not just the main event. That beat where the old men seem like they're going to assault their nurse.
Oh, God.
And it turns out they're just trying to get the cake.
Or chicken or something.
It was a chicken, yes. Yes,
that was funny. Allowed to have meat. That was funny. That was sort of playing against,
because you were, like, I'm sure you also had that moment where you're like, oh, no, yikes. Yeah. But it's like,
when that nurse is introduced, like, it literally just focuses on her boobs. Mm-hmm. It's like, she's got big boobs. Like, guess what happens next?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
But then they were like, just wanted to eat. They were just hungry.
Yeah, they just want to eat meat that they're not allowed to eat because they're old men who've suffered heart attacks and stuff.
Yeah, it's like greasy or whatever. They're like, ah. That was actually a pretty good joke. Especially, yeah, don't expect that. Yeah, and so I think that's the scene where I'm like, oh, we're not cutting back to the police. I think because
doesn't care about them.
Yeah, like at first, like it was like, the initial robbery, because there's sort of like this thing going on with this like American guy, I'm guessing, and the whole piece of film. You know,
no, he might have been American, but wasn't he the like some agent from Scotland Yard?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they say?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's supposed to be from, like, Cynthia is, right?
Well, and again, I think it has to do with the fact that this is a Hong Kong movie and it was a British colony at the time. So, you know, Britain's cops are the top dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The super cops.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Michelle ends up at that hotel and all this stuff. So there's like, it's mixed. It's feeling very, you know, Rush Hour at that first little bit. Where she's kind of mixed in the comedy duo is there, and then it just follows that comedy duo home for the rest of the movie.
It almost feels like it feels very similar to like a Fargo or like these ensemble casts of like crooks and bad cops or crooks and good cops, and like, you know, it felt like it could have all of that angle, but then yes, it is just like. No, it stays with these guys. It's like you think it's going to be that, but then it turns into like Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, where it's actually just about these crooks, period. But, you know, it does bounce around because thinking about it even now, you know, Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock's characters, like, they don't solve anything. There's not like a clue that gets them where they need to go. It's literally just,
oh, man,
when the thieves show up dead or beaten up, then they're like, okay, now we know where to go.
And we get a few scenes of Michelle Yeoh, and again, there could have been a separate movie with them, because we get the two conflicting versions of interrogation. Michelle Yeoh's kind of more like, I'm going to talk to this guy, be a little more friendly, and Cynthia Rothrock's like, let me take him into a dark room and assault him.
Yeah. Beat him to death.
Beat shit out of him.
Although, that guy looked great. He looked like a Terminator. Like, the way he, like, carried himself, especially in the airport scene, very good.
That guy looked like a Terminator, and then the main thug, and I think his name is Lucky Star in the movie, he looked like a Miami Vice reject or something. I mean, he was skilled, obviously, but he looked straight out of Miami Vice.
Yeah. There's some... You're right. Like, there's some cool-looking bad guys and characters. Yeah. There's a lot of the pieces I really dug, and I didn't like the movie, but it just, I guess...
Might have been an easier pill to swallow if the movie had been titled Aspirin and Strepsirol Meet the Super Cops.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, okay, I know what this movie is.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I saw on the Chatopedia, too, it had like, this is considered like the first of the girls with guns genre or subgenre.
Oh, interesting.
So that kind of started a trend, I guess, of like, so that's kind of why I thought it would be cool to watch. Mm-hmm. And, oh, should we talk about, like, it's very Chris Farley show with, like, the damn, that end fight. Unless you had anything in between, before we get to the fight, David, since you loved the rest of it so much. And
since I was the only one who liked the Abbott and Costello bits.
I liked it to an extent, but...
Well, even with the Abbott Costello bits, it kind of gets into the Chris Farley show. Like, I thought the dummy that he pulls out of nothing, that was straight out of Looney Tunes. He pulls a dummy, a fully formed dummy with explosives or flares or something on it out of nowhere. And to be fair to the Abbott Costello guys, I don't know if it's them doing these stunts, but there are moments throughout the movie where they do like very physical things. Like, there's a part where I'm having trouble with this guy's name. Parasol?
Panadol.
Paradol?
Panadol.
Panadol. He, like, jumps. He's getting chased by Lucky Star, and he literally jumps out a window, like, from one building to another and just, like, lands on the scaffolding. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is crazy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you know, you may not be getting your Michelle Yeoh, Cynthia Rothrock fill, but, like, there's still crazy stunts happening during this, mm-hmm. you know, middle 70 of the 90-minute runtime.
You know, maybe there is something, maybe it's, you know, kind of like retroactively they look back and say, oh, this is the one that started it. Because it does feel like, you know, Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock, they have the opening and they have the end. And then the movie's like, maybe not. But maybe, you know, the beginning and the end of this was enough to be like, no, we could make a whole movie that's mm-hmm. that. We don't need to have central male characters take over the majority of the plot because people liked that. You know, maybe there was just this hesitancy. Yeah. So it's like, this isn't even the first, like, complete example of it. It's just like, oh, it is the stepping stone that led to movies that did it correctly, quote-unquote correctly.
Yeah, because I was actually really surprised at first because because she's like the head of the police of that thing and everyone's listening to what she's doing, you know?
Yes, madam.
Yeah, and I was just like, it was...
Hip hip hooray! Madam is great!
Yeah, it was great. It was kind of just like, I was like kind of surprised. Like, at one point, when I first got it, because I didn't, when I realized, like, oh, they're cops, I'm like, oh, she's going to be, you know, looked down upon, you know, rookie
woman
or something
cop,
like that.
Yeah.
Woman cop thing. But it wasn't that, you know?
No, she was a senior inspector, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I was so stoked and just a little crushed when I was like, oh, God, get back to them. But keep saying that.
That's a fair reaction. In fact, yeah, only the villains are the ones that demean them for being women. In one of my probably the funniest moment of the movie, when the two thugs, Lucky Star and Mad Dog, who looks like, you know, he's all dressed up in like camo outfit and he's got like these fake eyebrows and he just looks crazy. They're having this standoff moment at the end of the movie, and they're like, women have such long tongues or something like that. And she goes, Michelle Yeoh goes, well, all mothers are women. And the guy goes, what?
Why are these women so much to say? It's not that.
Why are these women called eight wives? Ha
喂，你知唔知道啊？系男人啊，都系我哋啲八婆生嘅。
It's just this moment where it zooms in on him. He's like, "Boom," and that's the last straw. Like, what? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. This has been happening a lot lately with the movies we've been watching, but. The movies we've been selecting lately, I feel like, lend themselves to Chris Farley show-esque call-outs because there's just so much crazy shit happening. Like, as far as the action scenes you mentioned, Ryan, like, there were several moments in both the bookend action sequences where people fall on their necks or back in a way where I'm like, how do you fake... That had to have hurt. You can't fake that. I'm sorry. That must have hurt. There doesn't appear to be any sort of padding on the floor, or if there was some sort of pad like, concealed in like their shirt or something. But however you spin it, that guy got fucked up.
Yeah. There's like a moment, I think it's in the beginning of the fight, kind of with Cynthia, and she like knocks the guy off like a ledge, and it looks like the complex a little bit from Kill Bill a little bit. That scene kind of reminds me of it. Maybe that's
the basic layout.
I mean, just like the stairs, like them running up and down those stairs a lot kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's like a architecture choice from the area that's used a lot, you know, kind of thing. Of this like that kind of mall looking staircase and stuff. And yeah, there's like guys that fall off the edge and it looks like they hit their neck on the freaking edges. And there's that crazy shot too. It must be Michelle Yeoh where she like breaks through glass and grabs guys' legs and pulls them through and stuff like that. And
it's
good. They showed it twice.
The banister.
Yeah.
And she goes like she's like upside down, grabs their legs, flips them out, and then lands back on the top of.
It's the
floor.
Coolest. It's I mean that's one of the coolest things I've seen in one of these movies ever. You know.
It reminds me that that section. There's the glass there. There's the glass like statue stuff next to the stairs. It reminded me a lot of Police Story where they're just like it's the end of the movie. They're gonna break everything made of glass.
Yeah, and this was the same year too. That's why I was like that was one of the things that.
Oh wow! Okay.
Police Story.
They burned through all the breakaway glass in Hong Kong making these two movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I love, like I've watched it like six times since that last fight where like it's just showdown, bad guys, the cops show up, they're friends now, they do a little high five with each other. It's the cool.
Oh, that was a Rush Hour moment.
I get the chills, you know. It's like so cool.
But then isn't it nuts that the movie ends with the bad guys getting away with it?
Yeah.
Until
let's talk. Okay, so did you guys? Because I want to get to the ending because I thought that was the most shocking moment of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Tex. It's nuts. It's so...
Well, yeah, because like I said, just go watch... If you don't want to watch the movie, if you're not on board with the hijinks, like, just go to ApocoTube, check out Yes, Madam, and just... I'm sure you can just find clips of the action scenes. It'll probably total 10 minutes, but they are amazing. But the shocking moment of this movie is the very end, where the bad guy seemingly gets away with it. The evidence is gone, right? Isn't it like during the fight, Lucky Star is able to grab the microfilm, the Miami Vice guy. Mm-hmm. And I love the way he disposes of it. He like jumps up and like thrusts it into like a light bulb, thus burning it. Yep. Yeah. So they have no evidence. So after the fight has happened, shit has gone down. People have been shot. There have been explosions. There isn't a lick of glass left in the building that's intact. The police finally come, and they arrest Michelle Yao and Cynthia Rothrock. They're like, "You got illegal guns, you know?
They threw in their badges basically before this.
Yeah, lesson. You guys are not with the police anymore. Like you are trespassing. They say you're trespassing. They bring everyone in. They're everyone's walking out, getting into the cars, and Strepsil is just like, this will not stand.
Well, the villain taunts. The villain taunts them and says about how they're going to get away with it because they're good people. And
he goes like, there is no God.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There is no God. That's right.
And the villain's like, what are you talking about? Of course there's a God. <'Cause> like, it allows people like me to do what I like to do and get away with it. And this just, Strepsil just loses it. And he's like, he pulls a gun out of the holster of one of the cops, shoots the guy dead, and it's immediately cut. The movie's done. It's like, what?
What's he doing?
And then it's like, remember those action scenes we just showed you 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Those were cool, right?
We'll see them from different angles. It reminded me of the
ending to
The Big Boss. You remember that, Dave?
Yes.
Jet Li movie where he goes on a rampage, destroys a dude, kills his everybody in his house, and then the cops have to arrest him because it's like, well, law and order has to prevail. Like it's this kind of like weird holdover from that era. And I mean, it's probably still present in other ways of filmmaking in China and Hong Kong, where it's like, no, like everybody who commits a crime needs to be arrested because they committed a crime. Even if they're the heroes, like law and order has to be shown as being like above everything. And so our hero gets arrested at the end of enacting vengeance. And you're like, this is kind of a wild thing.
And the ending is just them like walking him away, like walking him off. Like he's got, and it's Bruce Lee, by the way. I think he said Jet Li. That was the big boss. And yeah, they're just walking him off, and that's the ending. But even that has like a little, the credits roll as they're walking him away. This one felt so much more abrupt, where he just shoots the guy, and it's a freeze frame of him with the gun pointed at the camera.
Do you think the next movie in the series picked up right where that cut? And then it's like, ah ha ha, I was wearing a bulletproof vest. I'm the villain of this movie.
Well, don't we see the bad guy? You see a squib, don't you? He gets blown away.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, not our heroes, Abbott and Costello. They've turned bad.
The world has crushed them.
I couldn't believe that line. Like, there is no God.
I know. It is a very dramatic ending, for sure. Like, it's very, a lot of those old 70-minute film noirs end. They end, like, right after the bad guy gets killed. It's like, boom. Credits.
Yes, it's so fun. I don't know, because it just it leaves you as sort of like a that can't be. And I like that feeling, honestly. Like when it's done, you're like, I guess that's it. Okay.
Yeah. It was definitely strange. And then you sometimes expect like the 2 months later card to come up or something like that. Like I said, how it'd be in a modern movie, I guess, or something.
We hit the 90-minute mark, we're done.
Yeah, no,
we are officially a movie.
Yeah. I just want to talk about that fight. And even though it's just, like, so cool. Like, I love it when Cynthia grabs that, like, pole and she, like, has a little fan on it and she, like, throws that at someone. It's one of the coolest, like, looking shots, and it's done so well.
A moment where she does like splits on like the side of a wall.
It's cool. And there's like really cool. There's actually, I put in my notes, there's a lot of cool match cut editing where like,
oh yes,
people like maybe like fall and then it cuts to someone else falling and stuff. And there's a couple other moments like that throughout. I can't remember the exact details, but there's like weird match cut edits. And I'm like, that's cool. It's in this movie. They took time.
There was one in particular. I think it was with Peridol, the forger. I had it written down. Shit.
I had one, but I can't decipher what it means. It says, what a cool edit of that dude hanging to the chair in the police station. And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't remember what that was.
It was the moment when it precedes that moment where they Aspirin and Strepsil are trying to get arrested. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment where like I think one of them gets punched or something, and like a moment right out of an Edgar Wright movie. It jump cuts to him like falling into like the chair in the police headquarters. I'm like, this is crazy, this is cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, that's it's you can tell like it only happens sporadically, but I'm like, oh, that's where those guys got all that cool shit, you know.
You can tell like the DNA of a lot of other movies is can probably be traced back to this movie.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, guys kind of recreating that kind of style, like an Edgar Wright, you know. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, there's you talking about how you like that whole stuff in there makes me maybe like it a little bit more. I think too that you can get you got a kick out of it.
I could totally understand like the initial shock of like, oh, I'm not getting the Super Cops movie. I'm getting Abbott and Costello Meet the Super Cops. Okay. All right. There's an adjustment period, but I think this would be a movie that would reward a rewatch because, again, there's so much stuff happening, so many crazy antics. Like, it's never a boring movie. I can't imagine anyone being bored with this movie because, I mean, I can imagine, I get where you guys are coming from where you were frustrated. Like, when are they going to get back to the fireworks factory, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's just what you see these two guys get up to is just so insane. And just and while I'm looking at my notes, I don't want to forget this because I knew that there was at least one more bit of music from another movie that they stole.
Oh,
it wasn't just Halloween. There was a moment from Dirty Harry in this movie. There was a sting.
Well, there was a Dirty Harry moment in the movie in the beginning where she talks about she has the gun and she asks him, you know, basically, do you feel lucky? Like, how many times did I shoot? Like, that happened.
I don't know if there's any bullets in the shotgun. Do I take that chance?
Yeah.
But no, there's a snippet of a Dirty Harry. There's a snippet of Dirty Harry music in the movie. I can't remember the moment, but the music that you hear is the same. It's like the theme of the Zodiac Killer, the Scorpio Killer in that movie.
老闆,怎麼了?喂,邊位啊?你不要這麼做的。你不用怕,你不用怕。在警方那些資料全部都是假的。你盡量保持笑容,到時我會找人跟你聯絡的。你準備聽錢,拜拜。So
really, they just, you know, maybe it was just like different, maybe they just couldn't get caught. Maybe just they couldn't get, you know what I mean? Maybe nobody cared.
I think that's part of it. A very high chance of that, yes.
Maybe they're just like, eh, they're not going to do it. They can't do anything to us.
Yeah. Like, how are they going to find out?
Fuck John Carpenter. Fuck Lalo Schifrin. They can't do anything to us.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably most of it. It's like, yeah, they're not going to, no one's going to know until someone finds out, you know? Yeah, because like, I don't think there's like, the DVD that I played was like, old weird DVD. It looked like it was like a region-free Chinese DVD. It was really strange. It had like Chinese lettering and English, but it didn't have like play. It had some other word for instead of play. It was really strange.
Interesting.
So,
real quick, do you guys want to go over the titles of all 9 of the films in the series?
Oh, wow.
What?
So, yeah. The series is called In the Line of Duty, and that was the title used for the first time in the 3rd movie, which was then retroactively applied to the first 2.
Mm.
So, Yes, Madame, aka Police Assassins 2 or 2 in the UK. then, next, the year after is Royal Warriors, aka Police Assassins. So, presumably they were released, you know, reversed.
So what was the first one?
The first one is Yes, Madame.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Even though it's 2.
Even though it's listed as Police Assassins 2 in the UK. Then we get the 3rd movie, In the Line of Duty 3, the 4th movie, In the Line of Duty 4, a.k.a. In the Line of Duty in the UK. The 3rd movie, In the Line of Duty 3, that's also known as Force of the Dragon in the UK. The 5th movie, now here's, this is a great title, you guys will love this one. The 5th movie's called Middleman, and a.k.a. In the Line of Duty 5, Roman numeral 5, Middleman. The 6th movie is known as Forbidden Arsenal. In the Line of Duty, Arabic 6, Forbidden Arsenal. The 7th movie is called Sea Wolves.
Sea Wolves?
Sea Wolves. The 8th movie is Yes, Madame 92, A Serious Shock, a.k.a. Ooh. Death Triangle.
That's the coolest one yet.
And then the 9th movie, Yes, Madame 5, a.k.a. Red Force 5.
Whoa.
It's a movie series with 9 movies, and they have like 19 different titles for movies in it. God bless.
That's weird. Wow.
That never gets old. You remember, Ryan, we were talking about that with the Godzilla movies. Like, if it's released in a different country, they're going to give it a different title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those titles are strange and weird and have like 3 colons in them and stuff. Yeah. Wow. It's. Yeah, I do like it. I do. I'm trying to think of any other. Facts? Any other things we can pull up for this? Let me see.
All right, I'm hitting up the Chattopedia. I'm gonna pull up the trivia. Looking... Let's see what we got. Anything crazy? Nothing like.
While you're looking that up, to expand on that fight a bit, did you guys notice there was a moment when one of the guys. I think it's when Cynthia Rothrock and Michelle Yao first bust in and they do their pose. There's a moment where a guy upstairs grabs like a sword and it looks like he does a full-on suicide maneuver because he just jumps over the thing and he goes straight down. And I don't remember exactly what they do. I think they just kick him and he like falls to like right on his neck. Like, I don't understand what that guy's endgame was. He just jumped over the scaffolding and just like with his sword out and just presumably to kill himself. It was like a suicide maneuver.
There's a lot of weird stuff like
yeah,
there's like a point I love it, like Michelle Yeoh does a move where she like does a flip around a guy and like lands on her butt like on his back or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good moment. This is this interesting, weird stuff. So I guess this is from D&B Film, who's a guy named Dixon Poon, is the executive producer of D&B. And I guess he kind of approached Michelle Yeoh because she won 1982's Miss World Malaysia contest. It's kind of her big start. And they actually got married for a long time, it says.
Oh.
And they were married until 92, it sounds like.
Until she met Jackie Chan in Police Story 3 Super Cop.
It's kind of funny. And a lot of the interviews with lately with her for the Everything Everywhere All at Once, there's been like her kind of talking about Jackie Chan and how Jackie was sort of like rude, not wanting like women to do their own stunts and stuff like that, and was really kind of like either stay in the kitchen. She like makes jokes about that, like stay in the kitchen.
That line's in the movie too.
Yeah,
get in the kitchen.
And but she's like, only Michelle could do the stunts, was like his whole thing, kind of thing. But she was like the first person to convince him like that she could, women could do this too.
Well, apparently, for this movie, she took to stunt work as opposed to allowing a double for every stunt. And to accomplish that, she trained for 8 hours a day in the gym to be able do the stunt work in this movie.
Wow.
I believe it. Dude, that moment when she's running alongside the car, you know, to, like, take cover, and then she's just jumping on the hood, jumping on the ground, jumping back on the hood with a different weapon she just got. Wild stuff.
Wild stuff.
Wow.
This whole movie can be summed up as some crazy wild stuff.
No, are you guys, even though, I mean, I know for Cody, a little bit of a bummer, are you glad you watched this one, though? For some...
I always like watching, you know, Hong Kong, Chinese, you know, martial arts movies and old movies. And I think I would have got to this one eventually because I similarly had a kind of hankering for other Michelle Yeoh stuff. You know, I'd seen her in Super Cop 3, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, obviously. And I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah. I just wanted to see what she was like in the start, really, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool, also giving more context to the new movie and all that stuff, I feel like.
There's a movie I definitely want to check out now. I mentioned, I think, Sammo Hung earlier. Him and Cynthia Rothrock were in a movie probably after this, I'm assuming. I think it was called Millionaire's Express. And they have a fight scene together, the two of them. One of the many like action clips that you see on YouTube of these action stars, these Hong Kong action stars. It looks awesome. That's one that I definitely want to check out. Yeah, I agree. I want to go down the rabbit hole of Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock, specifically their Hong Kong stuff. I feel like there is a need to break glass in these movies, and I love it.
No glass will remain unbroken.
Yes.
Real quick, Ryan, real quick. I'm sorry. I just have to mention this.
That's cool.
It's because, David, that they're breaking through the glass ceiling.
Of course.
It's true. I guess this was on the Chattopedia. This is Cynthia Rothrock's first credit, really.
Oh, really? So, oh, wow.
Kind of both started.
It's the beginning for both of them. And now let's traject their careers.
She's in a lot of stuff. It's funny, she's in a movie called China O'Brien 2, and it looks, or she's in China O'Brien 2, and it looks like Conan O'Brien, the way it's kind of written.
It's late night with China O'Brien!
Yeah, she's not in, like, these are all. Like, I haven't heard any of these action movies he did throughout the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, my understanding of Cynthia Rothrock, which I only know through David, is she kind of became this, you know, she was in that same genre of straight to DVD, straight to VHS action star.
But again, given her abilities, it's like, it's such a shame that she didn't, you know, break out bigger, like in the States or something, or just on, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sure she had a great career. I mean, she did a ton of movies, I guess she got her start in Hong Kong action flicks and
probably goes to cons and stuff now.
Oh yeah, sure. Definitely.
The thing is, you know, American action movies don't have a focus on good fight choreography. Like, there's only a handful of people who get that. Otherwise, it's just I punch them once they explode. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger is an action star. It's not because he can fight. It's because his muscles are bigger than anyone else in the world.
Especially during that time, that late
Bruce 80s. Willis was just a guy who could shoot a gun. You know what I mean? Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is probably the only example of a guy who was actually a martial artist who became a lead in movies. And even he is nowhere near the same tier as, you know,
they're not these big, huge fights like I feel like in his movies, really. There's big fights, but they're not like these dances like these are.
It's not like a 10-minute finale of breaking through an entire set.
Yeah, it seems like Jackie Chan was kind of the only one that made that jump. Like, Rumble in the Bronx was kind of the first, like, you know.
And that was years later, though, too.
And that was years later, yeah. He was well into his career by the time Rumble in the Bronx came out, but that was kind of the first one that kind of took storm in America, and then obviously he got Rush Hour and Shanghai Noon, all these big budget movies. the tuxedo.
Thank you. We don't talk about the tuxedo enough. You're right, Ryan.
Well, the thing is he did come to the U.S. in like the, and he went back to China because it wasn't break. He wasn't breaking through.
Well, it's. I think there's also the difference between a Chinese, Japanese, Korean, like an Asian martial artist will get a following in America for doing martial arts movies. But they're not going to cast white leads who might know martial arts to do martial arts movies. They're going to make different movies. That's kind of my point.
That's why we get John Saxon in Enter the Dragon. Remember?
Yes. Yes.
Well, we got to get a white guy in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer. Like, why is America so stupid? Well, it's like we're watching these.
They're nuclear waste now, so who cares?
Yeah. Well, it's just bizarre because it's like, how could you not see these movies and just think and not want more of this kind of stuff, this kind of crazy action? Because you're watching these movies and it's like, shit, I'm watching this movie. I'm like, you don't see shit like this now in like more modern movies. Like, this is just, I mean, maybe it's because there's stricter safety requirements. Well, I don't know.
I think they don't want to spend the time at the time probably too. Like, they're like, Jackie Chan was like, oh yeah, we need 6 weeks to set up. To learn this scene and to set it up. And they're like, what? No.
Okay. For like 5 minutes in the movie.
It's also, we need 6 weeks to do this, and I'm going to grab a crew of 20 guys who have been doing this all their lives. Like, that's the other thing, is that culture doesn't exist in America. Mm-hmm. It didn't exist, you know, to be that kind of thing. You think about the folks in the 90s, like Jason Scott Lee and stuff like that. Like, there is a tier of people who are martial artists who make movies. Those movies are not, you know, They're not blockbusters because it's just not there. That culture of whether it's for the whether it's for the action scenes, whether it's for, you know, the skills, the style, whatever it is, the time, just putting all the effort in, it's just not there. They'd rather bring over. They'd rather make, you know, the Chinese martial arts movie. They'd rather bring Jet Li, make a few movies with him, and be like, okay, cool, you're our martial arts guy, right? And then drop off. It's few and far between. But when they do it, it's really like special, right? Like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. They took this time to like do everything perfectly, learn it, you know, train nonstop. And still they do that and it's impressive. You know, they're 10 years later, 15 years later, they were doing the John Wick movies, but it's still not like the brand because that's using guns a lot too. You know what I mean? Like, guns are American Hollywood cinema more so than I'm going to beat up a guy with a ladder. And that's unfortunate because it comes off silly, I think, to people who don't know what they're talking about. They're just like, oh, it's a ladder fight, whatever. And then you watch it and you're like, this is beautiful. This is beauty. This is grace. What are we missing here by not letting a guy use a chair to kill everyone in a room?
Yeah. And you were kind of right because it's almost like the saying things got goofy. It's almost like with the turtles and like Three Ninjas and that kind of craze. It like, oh, this is for kids, like this sort of like these kind of the movies that were big, or at least got popular, were like the sound effects were always goofy and stuff in those movies and stuff like that. For fighting movies, there wasn't really these kind of like, it's pretty harrowing. Like, even though there's some funny moments in that last fight, but you're like, damn, this is nuts. This is, you know, he's pulling out that knife even though he said he wasn't going to stuff. That guy and his eyebrows, holy crap.
He was gnarly, yeah.
It's just yet another reason why America sucks, I guess. Like, why can't you get on board with this? How can you not watch these action scenes and be like, we got to do that? Like, that. Why wasn't there some producer somewhere that's like, how would people not love this? This is amazing. It's just like, nah, we'll shoot it on a green screen. We'll get a CGI character to do these whip moves. And then just, this is such a bummer. Yeah. But then again, it's like, it's expensive. But then again, it's just like, well, you know what? All these movies exist. They were made in Hong Kong. There's decades of them. Yeah. You know, Michelle, we can, and that's what's cool. And I'm glad that, you know, glad that these movies exist on crappy DVD bootlegs that we can watch them, like Ryan said. And the only problem is trying to decipher which of the buttons is the play button.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. Check it out. You know, I can't imagine anyone being let down by the action in these movies.
Yeah. I just say that if you're warned, like if I went in, like knowing like, oh, I probably would have been like, this is amazing kind of thing. I think having a little bit of a warning that, oh, this isn't really it's so somewhat of an ensemble leaning towards the other guys more.
Yeah.
I think maybe I was expecting like knowing like how much I love Police Story and like Jet. That's the thing. Like, imagine if Michelle Yeoh, was like Jackie Chan, he's in the goofy scenes also in Police Story. Even though there's not like big action scenes, he's there all the time. Even when he's juggling phones and stuff like that.
That's the scene I always go back to. Scene. Is the phones figuring out where to take notes, which person needs a message.
So. Yeah, and so it's like, I guess, and that's in the interviews, Michelle Yeoh has like said like finally in this new movie I can be funny and dramatic and do action stuff, and like I haven't had the chance to really do that because maybe it was like back then, no, you're just this, you know, you can't be funny as well in this movie, so.
She had the presence, like she, again, like that that moment you referenced when they do like the Rush Hour moment where they like clap hands and they go into the action pose. Like they both had the presence, and it's just,
I love that.
Yeah, it's a shame that they didn't let her get into a more comedic side, but we'd have to wait decades later for Everything Everywhere All at Once. This definitely. I don't know about you guys, but unless you got anything else to say, I mean, I would definitely recommend this movie with the caveat. Watch it go into this movie assuming that the title of it is Aspirin and Strepsil Meet the Super Cops, because then you have a better like brace of what you're about to get into.
Yeah, I'd say so for sure. But yeah, like you said, there's probably a good 15-10 minute YouTube compilation that's pretty amazing.
Or that.
That last fight is super. It's one of the most impressive, like the Jackie Mall fight in Police Story. Like it's, I think it's up there with that. I think I love it.
I agree,
and that's because it took 30 days to shoot. They took their time. They made it perfect.
And he's like, "What? I can shoot a whole movie in 30 days."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on my phone.
If you can feel it, and it's like it's rough, and they look like they're getting hurt. You know, it's cool. It's, I don't know. And it has that funny moment with the samurai swords. That's all I needed for the comedy.
So does that mean the two of you have, in retrospect, good reviews for this movie?
It's like a 3-star, you know, a 3-star masterpiece, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I still stick by my guns that the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes are the best part of the movie. And the middle part,
that's pretty hard to argue,
is a little, you know, I mean, yeah.
It's not that long. It's just, it's like, yeah, I think when you're not expecting it, it feels longer than it is.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, so I would recommend for a Hong Kong fan or someone that wants to some background on old Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be in some Disney Plus show soon, I think.
And she's going to be in another series of movies long awaited.
What's that?
Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
See how she's doing.
Named Dr. Karina, so she must be from Earth. She's a human. She's not playing a Na'vi.
Maybe she'll. I mean, that doesn't.
That doesn't mean anything, I know. Yeah. As we know about our good friend Sully.
You keep giving us all these little tidbits about the Avatar movies, but you don't actually provide the movie, Cody. This is a problem.
Here's the thing. I'm a keeper of the Avatar tome, the Chronicles of the Chronicles of Na'vi, and I just can tell you're not ready for it yet.
Tell us more, Cody. Tell us
damn
more.
Damn it.
Sit with me, Cody. Here by the fire under the trees.
Tell us more about Avatar and the Seed Bear.
First, we begin our story far ago with the first flight.
But you told this one!
Karuk the First Flight is the greatest story there is in the world of Pandora. I am the last living member of the Anorai clan. When I connect with Awa, I hear the voices of our distant ancestors.
How do you remember this shit?
I hear the time when their lives were threatened. This is that story.
I can't remember that. That was the Avatar theme song.
Well, it may not have had multiversal jumping or hot dog fingers, but I gotta say, I enjoyed Yes, Madam.
Yeah, it was okay, but now I just want to see everything everywhere all at once again.
Well, Ryan, maybe if you're lucky, you'll catch it on one of the random head broadcasts again.
So, well, screw that. I can't wait that long. I want it now! Just have to do something crazy to trigger the multiverse trip. Let's see. Aha! Here we go. Expired Milk Duds and Fruitopia. That'll do it for sure.
Ryan, I'm not so sure about this one.
My god, don't do it, man!
Googly-eyed universe, here I come!
Ryan, are you alright?
Yeah. I have a headache. Ugh.
Did it work?
Oh no! My stomach! And my head! Oh, my head! I don't feel right.
Oh, God. What's happening?
Oh, my God. Ryan, your head. It's shrinking.
Ryan, your head. It's normal size now.
Wow. I can't believe it. But my hands are hot dogs.
Ha 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 ha